But we're honored to have Eli here. He is not only, I didn't think he could do anything better than the way he cooked till I heard him teach. So he's good at feeding, any way you look at it. Amen? So I know he has a great word for us here today. I'm going to pray for him and we'll get started. All right? Amen. Thank you, Lord. Father God, we thank you for the gift that you've given our church of Eli and his family, Father God, and the many gifts he brings. But more importantly, those are gifts that he is willing to share, Father God. Father, just bless him, anoint him, let this word come from you, but use his mouth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, family. So, I do apologize. Sometimes, even though I predominantly speak English, I learned the word of God in Spanish growing up, so sometimes I may mispronounce something, and I apologize. And I also, before I ever teach or talk to anybody, I always tell them, if I offend you, I apologize. But if the Spirit offends you, I can't apologize for that. So my intent is never to disrespect anyone or cause anyone to be uncomfortable. So let's begin. So you guys can get a style of my teaching. When I do have the opportunity and the blessing to be able to talk to somebody, I like to use a lot of my own life examples just to make it understandable and relatable. So I've titled this, Getting Your Faith in Gear. Ironically, I drive a stick shift to work. And if any of you guys try to drive stick shift, you know, if you try to start in third gear, it's not going to work. You can start in second gear, but it's going to take you a long time. You know, first gear is that perfect gear, and I guess sometimes us as Christian, as men and women and leaders, we need to understand what gear we need to begin our life with and our daily life in. Let's read, look in the book of Hebrews chapter 11. I'm going to read a couple verses. It's a little bit longer than what I usually like to read, but it's just to set an understanding of what I wanted to say. So the Word of God says, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed as God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By that verse, what is seen was not made by what is visible. When my kids start asking me about dinosaurs roaming the earth or the Big Bang Theory, I tell them, look, that's man's way of explaining something that's unexplainable. Because what our God does is unexplainable. Men can't seem to understand that with a simple word, the sick are healed. And by a simple touch, you know, we see miracles. So men always create something to try to undermine and underestimate what the glory of my God and how great he is. So I tell my kids, yes, we go to school. Yes, we listen, but we just understand that we have the teacher that's the master of all masters. So we must understand that the Word of God is our number one textbook, and all those, we take the good and we scrap the bad. So that's what I get from just that verse alone. And it continues by saying, by faith, Abel brought God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, Abel still speaks even though he is dead. Speaks through our offerings. You know, and it's not just our tithing, it's our time. Like some of us actually give the best that we have when it's to talk to others, when it's to serve God and serve people. You know, we give the best, and that's what Abel did the best that he could. You know, like yesterday, we were here, and it was amazing because we were trying on a brand new tool that we still haven't quite got the hang of it. And it's a blessing, but it's a blessing in disguise because we haven't seen it yet. But I received confirmation this morning talking to Donna when she told me, I don't think I've ever heard somebody tell me that a car accident was a blessing for them, ever in my life. When she told me that her car accident was a blessing, I was taken back. Like, and she explained why. I'm not going to explain why, but she told me. And I was amazed by the fact that she was positive with something that was so difficult. And yesterday while we were here, we were looking at the griddle and we were trying to figure it out. And then we started receiving help. And Ricardo was like, man, we got a lot of people here today. I said, yeah, we did, bro. God knew that we were going to struggle one way or another, you know. But we gave the best that we had, you know, our offering. You know, so those are acts that are carried on through our day-to-day as Christians. By faith, Enoch was taken from this life so that he did not experience death. He could not be found because God had taken him away. For before he was taken, he was commended as one who pleased God. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Because anyone who comes to him must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. It is sad to say that we have this Bible and this book of life at our disposal. And yet I've seen and I've heard great ministers and great Bible scholars say that, you know, you can find salvation without Jesus. And you can find salvation without faith. I'm like, how is it possible, you know? And again, that's where we need to be weary, because a lot of them are eloquent speakers. They're well-dressed. And the stigma, me growing up in a Pentecostal church, you know, a three-piece suit went hand in hand with being spiritual and godly. You know, the biggest Bible, the biggest thesaurus, all these things equated to your spirituality. Again, that's what I was taught. I have a brother who is a heroin addict, you know, and I was amazed. The first time I came to this church, I was very amazed with Ray, you know, because I was taught that somebody like Ray couldn't be holy, right? And I use him as a...
Who are you talking about?
Yeah, we have two.
The one you talk about Meldonado, we agree with him. Amen.
And I was told that because, you know, tattoos and this and that. Yeah, I've seen him and I said, man, that's somebody that could talk to my brother. Mm-hmm. Someone that can relate to my brother. You know? That's why the day that Ed Trout was speaking and he talked to my mom about my brother, I burst into tears because I don't tell a lot of people about that. Not that I'm ashamed of him, but when people talk bad, you know, it kind of like, you're here to defend your brother. So, you know, like, oh, what did your mother do? Nothing. My mother raised us right. You know, she got 4 out of 5. It's not a bad, not bad odds. But to see those, I was amazed. I'm like, that's godly, man. You know, he walks by faith, and in this outer shell, you know, we leave it. I mean, we were supposed to be perfect. I'd weigh about 150 pounds less and about 6 inches taller. But you know, that's not the case. You know, like I tell my mom, my older brother, the pastor that was here, he's fit and young, and I was made with what was left over. So, you know, that day I was taught yet another lesson with Ed Trout. You know, I yearn for my family to come, not to become members of this church. If that was the case, that'd be blessing. That would be a blessing for me, but that's not the case. As I've gotten older, I've understood that we all take our path, and we all find our spiritual home. We share one home as brothers, but we all have to find our own spiritual home where we feel comfortable, where I can walk in and I say, I'm home. So I was really, really looking forward for them to come, and it came out of nowhere. I mean, I invited them last year. This is the second time. Saturday night, I don't know what happened, because Friday there was nothing but excuses. Saturday there was nothing but excuses. And then Sunday, they're like, yeah, we're going to go. I'm like, all right, cool. And this was like 2 hours before the service began. So, like I said, it was God. So the whole time I was yearning, I'm like, should I go tell Ed Trout to talk to my brother? And I was like, no, I'm going to shut up. You know? Because sometimes, like Donna said this morning, we want that instant miracle. And then there's the miracle that's healing. It's a process. We just like everything instantly for some reason. So when Ed spoke to me, there was things that were afflicting me, and it was amazing. Then when he got to my brother's, in my stupid, ignorant sense, I said, that's not the word I was looking for. It's funny, like sometimes we put a time frame on the Lord. My faith was in the wrong gear at that time. my faith was in reverse. You know, I needed to stay exactly where he wanted me to be. So the service was over and we were up here. And I told my brother, you got it. My brother is, he's naturally fit, like Mark.
Yeah.
You know, Mark tells me everything he's eating. I'm like, man, dude. So I tell my brother, you got to have some of this pumpkin pie. He's like, nah. I'm like, dude. He's like, no. I'm like, girl, the lady that made this has MS and she has more. I said, the love that she shows is amazing, bro. I said, for her to make that, I'm pretty sure it wasn't easy. I said, so I need you to try a piece of this, man. So he tried it, which made him stay a little longer. Because then I got Pastor Don to talk to him, which, you know, I know that's going for a minute. So I did that purposely. So as they were talking, I was present. And now I'm going to share some portions of it, but other portions that, you know, are for my brother and God. And I just got to hear the bits and pieces of it. But Bob came up and he's right where Ed was standing. And he looked at my brother and he said, how's your Bible? And I said, oh, man, let me get away from this guy. Not because I was scared, because I knew that he wasn't talking as him and me. He was being used at that moment. And he asked my brother, how's your Bible? And my brother told him. And he's like, but is it new? And my brother's like, no. He's like, I know it's not. But so they started talking. And I walked away. And I walked away feeling like an idiot. Like, you know, when the Lord has to scold you. Because God didn't bring in a prophet or somebody from outside to talk to my brother. You know, he used a man that I see. You know, a man from here. Which, at the end of the night, we were blessed. I mean, we already started talking about next year how we need to make it greater and better. So I talked to my brother. It was very late. He called me. I'm like, bro, how was it? And he was like, good. I said, how was the word from Ed Trout? He was like, it was good. But I knew he was like, yeah. And he was like, but what the other guy told me, he's like, I knew that was from God. And I'm like, what other guy? He's like, you know, the guy you're, I was like, oh, you're talking about Bob. He's like, yeah. I'm like, yeah, I heard him say something about the Bible. He's like, no, not that time. He's like, that was the first part. He said, he caught me on the way out. And I was like, really? He's like, yeah. I'm like, you don't have to tell me what he told you. He's like, no, man. He told me that I had to hurry up and basically pull the trigger and all the things that I wanted to do, that I wasn't offending my father here. I was offending my father up there. And it's something that I've talked to my brother many times about, yet I've never shared with Bob. And my brother said, I needed that. My brother had resigned as pastor 3 weeks prior to coming here. He said, I am done. I can't do this anymore. And now I've seen this light. It's completely rejuvenated in him, right? And there's two things that happened there. One, I had to get out of the gear that was in, which was the wrong gear, and put myself in the correct gear. Right? I had to check myself, basically. But with those two things happened in my life at that same time. One, my brother had received the word that he was so in need of. And my brother battles, my brother can't bear children. So, and his wife, ironically, was a school teacher, and now she's a principal, and she loves children. So it's tough. They've semi-raised my other brother's children, who's an addict. He's semi-raised them as much as they could possibly do it. And now they were starting the adoption process, which is extremely expensive and lengthy. I mean, they had to have blood drawn. They had to submit pictures. When they showed me this portfolio with 1,000 pictures, I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, they're requesting a lot of things from us. There, you know, my brother talked through Bob. I mean, the Lord talked through Bob to my brother and also to me, because now my family could see that I'm coming to a church that's anointed, that the Holy Spirit actually dwells in.
Amen.
You know? And I was like, thank you, because I was sick and tired of telling you guys, you know, that. Now, you know, you get into these things where you have to shut up about what you do and how you do it, and what we do here, because we don't want to offend. And it's not like I'm offending them, because The only person I truly care about not offending is the Lord, even though sometimes I do it and I smack myself. But as Christians, we just need to learn, like I said, which gear to be in. Which, you know, do we talk in our first gear? Or we talk in our fourth gear? Do we have to actually put it into overdrive? You know, we just need to know when and where. But with the, that experience, it was amazing to me because my brother was, it was like, a, you know, like, man, needed that. My brother was good, and then we started talking, and I was amazed. Because I'm like, I'm over here thinking you guys got to talk to Ed. I should have just invited you to every other church service. You know? Well, I could have just took Bob to your house. He does make house calls.
Just have him meet him at the grocery store.
Yeah, I was going to tell my brother, just meet me at Meyer by your house. I'll bring Bob, and you guys can go from there. You know? Again, it was just amazing. Verse 7 says, by faith Noah, when warned about things not yet seen in holy fear, built an ark to save his family. By his faith he's condemned. By his faith he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that is in keeping with faith. See how he says by faith he, by fear he built. Sometimes I think we, when God tells us to do something, it's not always like, yeah, I'm gonna go build this. You know, sometimes you're like, man, like this morning, you know, I was like, man, I've changed my verses like 10 times. You know, and everybody's like, you ready? Nope. Because the word of God is something serious. It's not something to play with. It's not a joke. And then, honestly, when I sit in a room with people that I consider Bible scholars, my biggest fear is to make a mistake. You know, and out of fear, I'm doing it, but not out of being scared of the world, just being scared of falling short of where I'm supposed to be. You know?
That's a healthy fear.
Yeah. If you say so, I'm going to believe you.
If the fear stopped you from getting up and doing it, that would be a bad fear.
No, what?
So, verse 13. I'm just going to skip over a little bit. Verse 13 says, all these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. Here, it's funny. Sometimes we think that as Christians, we should get everything we deserve. There, they said, you know, we're still living. They never got to see what they were promised, but they still lived. You know, Donna inspired me this morning where she says, you know, and she told her doctor, have you ever seen a miracle? And the doctor's like, no. She's like, well, get ready. You know, she's living. She's what she was promised, you know. And I pray and hope that God lets her see that day come. But it's funny how she's not saying it's going to happen regardless, but she's living by it and saying it's going to happen. But she's not mad at God if it doesn't happen either. I'm like, wow, you know. Everything's intertwining with my day-to-day struggles because I've had a lot of those. I've had a lot of those struggles. When Ed Trout said to me, your wife will be here. You know, this morning I understood that that's a promise, but if I don't see it, doesn't mean that I should be mad. If I don't see it, there's a purpose because God can change what he wants to do in me. And sometimes we change our own path depending on which gear we're moving in. You know, that's why we have to continuously read and talk and share with our brothers and sisters in Christ. So we make sure that we're walking on the right path. Because sometimes the other path looks like it's the best path and is wider. But we need to struggle sometimes. You know? Sometimes we think it's all right. You know, like a couple of you guys seen that I was hobbling a couple of weeks ago. And I had a big marine battery fall on my toe. And I relieved the pressure on my own. I went to the doctor and the doctor said, nail is good. You're not going to lose it. Great. And last night I lost it.
It's obviously not a
problem. Not a good doctor.
No. So I'm sitting there thinking, like, why did I put my faith in this woman? I know it's just a nail, but it's just the ironic comfort that I felt with her telling me that I went ahead and did what she told me to do. I'm like, oh, cool, it's not going to fall. And last night I'm like, This don't look right. I'm kind of brown and my nail's kind of white. But even when I took it off, what I was expecting to see wasn't there. It wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be, right? So, again, I did what I was told to by a doctor. And it's just a simple example, but, you know, sometimes we do what others tell us to do, and we go on what they tell us, and we're like, ah, we're good. And then you get slapped in the face, and then you're like, God, but why? And God's like, stupid, you're the one that trusted that person, not me. I've given you what you need to trust and how you need to live by. But you chose to do it that way, not me. You know? And I was like, last night I was like, man, Lord, I needed that nail. It's been with me so long, you know? Now I understand. Don't worry, I thought about you. You're telling me. It's going to grow back. And he told me she cut holes in her shoes. I was scared to cut holes in my shoes. But it's going to grow back, right?
Yes.
Y'all need to pray for that. There was two examples that Pastor John used in last Sunday service. 2 Kings 4:7 says, she went and told the man of God, and he said, go sell the oil and pay your debts. You and your sons can live on what is left. Was that faith or no? I mean, she put it into gear. And 1 Kings 17:16, for the jar of flour is not used up, and the jug of oil did not run dry, in keeping with the word of the Lord spoken by Elijah. I mean, these are promises in the Bible. And I know it's simple. I don't like to use 11,000 verses in the Bible, because then I feel like we could just sit here and we can read the Bible together. And like I said, I like using my personal examples. I just think people can relate more to that. I mean, I think you can all relate to a short, overweight Puerto Rican guy, right? It's not that hard. Daniel chapter 3. And there's going to be a reason why I even had to Google this last night. Because I say it in Spanish. So that Shadrach? No. See, now how am I forgetting all this?
Yeah, I don't know how to pronounce it.
I know it's Abednego. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, right?
Meshach.
Wow. If I say it in Spanish, you guys would be like, I get it. It doesn't sound the same, but I get it. See? Thank you, Jesus. We all know the story of them, how it goes, but verse 12, chapter 3, verse 12 says, but there are some Jews whom you have set over the affairs of the province of Babylon. Right? But these dudes, they were appointed. Is that correct, Pastor Don? They were appointed by the king. So it's not just three whatever people. It's three people that he had given appointments to. Me and my job sometimes. And I have a, you know. So at this point in my life, a couple months ago, about February, I had applied for a job elsewhere in Lincoln Consolidated Schools to become their director of operations. And when they didn't call me back, I was angry. I was like, man, dude. Then ironically, a person got promoted into that position who I knew and who I had recommended to come work for our company. But the thing I forgot is he is also a Christian. You know, he wears these shirts called Jesus Freak and all that stuff. And I had to check myself and say, man, God, bless him on his way out. Took the job that I was waiting for. But then I took his job with our company because they needed somebody who can fix problems. And the ironic part is when I came in, my salary bumped about 25%. So I was sitting here like, I was mad for no reason. You know, that was fitting for him because that's what the Lord had promised him. You know, and he didn't care that our CEO had put him in that position. You know, he took it. So when I took this position, I started getting a little overwhelmed at first. But, you know, God gave me the knowledge and we turned the account around. It was a big blessing. But lately, the devil has started again. I have this one person and he's like, oh, you didn't get here till 9:30 today. I said, oh, were you awake at 5 when I was taking phone calls? No. Were you here at 10 o'clock at night when I was here? So I read this verse last night, and it was funny because these gentlemen, these three God, men of God, stood before the king when he was mad. He said, if you don't do what I do, we're going to throw you into this burning fire. And you guys can read the verse. And they basically said, you know, we have one God. And if he throws us in there, you know, he's going to save us. And if he does not, basically, like, he's going to heal us. But if he doesn't, it doesn't matter because we're still going to serve him. So they didn't go into this trial saying, we know he's going to save us. They went in there saying, he can save us, but if he doesn't, we still will serve the Lord. That's still our God. So sometimes we need to understand that. Because we go into these trials and tribulations, it doesn't mean that as Christians and sons and daughters of God, we're going to come out with the upper hand all the time. But the thing is not to lose our faith. So I went into this, and I've been here for 9 months. And all I hear is, you know, we never thought this account was going to turn around. And then the issue started coming. So on Wednesday, I was in a meeting, and the gentleman says, hey, by the way, Rick and Rob are very angry at you. And Rick and Rob would be the equivalent of Pastor John and Pastor Don in our account. So we get the understanding. And I'm like, okay, cool. I'm going to talk to him. No. I'm like, no. My name is my name. And I said, the only one that can smear it is the Lord if he wants to. And he looked at me. He said, don't worry, I'll talk to him tomorrow. I did it. So on Thursday, I applied for another job. It's ironic. Because remember, I was mad the first time? Yeah. And then what God had for me was better. So this time I was sitting here and I was looking at this job and I'm like, yeah, I got that. I'm looking at all the requirements. And I'm like, yep. And then I look at it and it's a made-up title because they've never needed that before. Mm-hmm. It's a new breed, which I'm part of. So it's like, cool. I can do this. So I applied for it, but on Friday, I was like, no, you know what? Even if I'm blessed with that position, I need to clear my name up here. Because I don't ever want to walk away from a place where they say that dude or that Christian guy. So I went and talked to the equivalent of Pastor Don. And first thing I said, I'm like, hey, I'm here. Well, I need to clear something up with you. I said, yeah. And we started off the conversation the same way. I was like, if I offend you, man, I apologize. But I'm just doing what I feel in my heart and what God has told me to tell you. So he sat there and I said, I was told that you were offended by me, certain things and this and this and this. And he was like, that didn't come from me. He said, I'm going to fix it right now. I'm sitting here like, man. And you know, the devil puts things in our path to say, you know, walk away. And I don't know what the blessing could be. But I know that when I share with my team that I may be looking and they're like, oh, man, this is, we're going to lose this contract without you. I'm like, I'm one person. There's 110 of you. And they're like, no, but you lead us in a way that we've never been led before. I'm like, you know, sometimes you have to think. You know, I was already in fifth gear. I was waiting to head out the door. You know, but I had to retract myself. I had to chill for a minute and talk to this person. And I was so amazed when this person said, we're going to fix this problem right now. And he said, I haven't seen things this good, and I've been here for 10 years. And I tell people all the time, it's not because of me, you know, because I've seen people that have woken up the next morning and don't remember anything. They don't have the same functions, the same mentality, the same abilities. And I have to thank God every day for the knowledge that he gives me. You know, I have to start off my day in the right person, in the right gear, in the right way. So sitting there, I was amazed. And then I was amazed at my team for all the things that they told me. And I don't ever doubt the Lord because I'm not that dumb anymore, you know. But sometimes we just put other things in perspective and we forget his promises to us. There's a verse, and this I was taught to as a child. I was taught about as a child. Psalms 27:4. No, that's not it. I'm sorry. 27:10. Though my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in the straight path because of my oppressors. I'm 35 years old now. I always thought, as a child, that that verse related to my parents leaving the Lord, you know, going astray, or my brothers and my sisters. I never, in my 35 years, ever thought that that could relate to me leaving their church and coming to another church. Me, spiritually, I was abandoned by my father and my mother the day I left their church. And I'm saying spiritually, because I've seen this verse in a whole new light. It was odd, but I knew that I was no longer growing. I don't know if you guys have seen plants that you continue to water. And the mentality is you water it and it's going to grow. But you can water it so much it's going to drown and it can die. You know, I was drowning. Whether I was putting 180% into where I was or zero, either way I was dying. I couldn't find that balance. So I talked to my parents. First I talked to my pastor, which was even harder because it's my brother. Somebody I look up to, and everybody would say, "You're Aaron to Moses." I'm like, it doesn't feel like that. But you know, some people use the scriptures of the word to give you messages that you're not supposed to get, or to use those to make you stay in a certain place. And I'm like, dude, how does Aaron let go of Moses' hand now and leave? It was hard for me. So I talked to them and I left. And as I left, that verse was used against me hundreds of times, man. Hundreds of times. And I had never understood the full effect of that message until I came here, right? Because, again, I related that with being in a Christian household and your father and your mother leaving the sanctity of God and going out into the world. But now it was used in a different sense because I know that they were still saved. However, they didn't accept me for the decisions that I had made to leave their church. And the day, you know, the second part where it says the Lord will never forsake me. I've been coming here a little over 2 years, and it seems like just yesterday. But one day we were in the main office, and again, that verse was used against me. And I'm a grown man, and I was in pain, internally, physically. And Pastor John, and Bob were praying for me. And at the moment that I heard Bob speaking in tongues, I'm home. At that moment in my life, the second part of that verse kicked in. Yep, you didn't forsake me. Because I've been raised with understanding that to me in the house of the Lord where the Spirit is not felt, where there's no speaking in tongues, the Bible speaks about that. So it's where I feel comfortable. So by hearing, and by no means do I mean that every single person that comes to church speaks in tongues. I was raised in a Pentecostal church. I got to know the fakers. You know, but like, dude, you just recited a verse from this book, and it ain't from the Bible. You know, you made it up. But at that moment, I understood that God said, yeah, this is where you're supposed to be. Just with those words. And I didn't understand what he was saying. But the Spirit interpreted to me with solace. And I was like, you know, you're good. You're good. And it was amazing. So from that point on, you know, I was still abandoned by my mother and my father till this day. I still am. And I'm not saying that for pity. I'm just saying that so that we all understand that we can still receive that feeling from other Christians. They are saved, however. The relationship that they build with us is not the same. And I was still looked... I'm still looked down on because, you know, I come to a different church. You know? And we get it at home, too. But that day was like a changing point in my life. I'm like, all right, good. I'm going to give you everything I got. You know? And during Ed Trout's thing, my wife refused to come. She was like, nope. I said, all right, cool. And then Sunday, she was like, you're going to church again? 4 times. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, this is once a year. And she was like, why do you guys need all that? She went, and my wife is not a real Catholic. She says she's Catholic. She's not.
We've been there.
So I don't want to offend anybody who believes it. But I turned around and I said, y'all pray for the dead for 9 days. I said, for 9 days, you guys go pray for a dead person. I said, it's not even a person anymore. It's just a body. It's a carcass. I said, that's the equivalent of you going to play with the snake skin after the snake has left it.
Wow.
And she said, no. I said, there's nothing you could do for that person anymore. They're dead. There is no retreat. There is no reverse. There is nothing. You can't bring that spirit back into that body. It's done. In fact, it starts to smell now. I said, how come you don't have that body in the same room with you for those 9 days? I said, because it's no good anymore. It doesn't produce anything. There's no blood flowing through it. There's no spirit in it. There's nothing. I said, so the people that I'm serving for these four events are people that have life in them, that are coming to look for the Lord. I said, so I'm doing my part for them while they're alive, not when they're dead. I said, I don't even like going to funerals. And she's looking at me. I said, for what? I had to say my piece with that person when they were alive. My mom has always said to me, don't bring me flowers and don't come to my funeral if you don't come see me in life. Don't. And this year I lost my godmother. And she had a daughter. We would tell her daughter all the time, come. You got to come see her. She's going. And she did it in the funeral. I've seen people that I hadn't seen ever. And I'm telling you, my godmother's been in my life since I was 6 years old. And people would come and hug me. And I'm like, who are you? I'm like, I'm Olga's sister. Okay. Oh, I'm her brother. We loved her. I'm like, no, you didn't. Because if you loved her, you would have made this trip while she was alive. It's funny how we come, and I told her, you know, there's nothing, and I use those examples with my wife. I'm like, I'm going to go see my brothers. I'm going to go see my sisters. I'm going to talk to people while they're alive and while I'm alive. Because when I'm bedridden, I can't be like, God, heal me so I can go preach. No, fool, preach while you're still healed. Before you need the healing, go out there and talk and go out there and put your faith in gear, and you do it by actions and you move by faith. That day when I talked to my wife like that, and when Ed Trout spoke to my brothers, I said, thank you, God, because I had a whole different outlook on what it was supposed to be. You know, but that day I got checked. I got checked because I appreciate Bob tremendously. And I appreciate the Lord. He had a vision by using somebody that I see every single day, not a prophet or a special person, to speak to my brother, but somebody who's a member of this church. And I told him, dude, he is a pinnacle of that church. And I'm like, him, Pastor John, and not just because they're old.
You were going good. You had to go there.
I told my brother, it's not because they were there before the church was built. It's just because of how they are with the Lord. I said, and I was amazed. And look, Ray came up. Look at that. We were talking about you earlier, brother. So, I know we got to finish, and I'm sorry. It was just amazing to me, you know, that my brother used them. And I still have, you know, and it may be a selfish act, but I still have this selfishness that I can bring my brother here one day, and one day he sees somebody like Ray, who looks like him, but they're two different spirits, man. You know, but my brother needs that healing. And my brother, people make fun of him. I tell him, dude, you look like Jesus. You're walking around with long hair, long beard. And he's like, I know, man. And one day I hope to bring him here so that he can hear from somebody that's been through what he's been through. You know, receive healing through that. Because sometimes we don't, the obstacles that we go through in life, the different years that we have in life, there's a purpose for them. You know, the Lord has a purpose for each and every one of us, regardless of what we have, you know. And I want to be like those three men where they said, we know he can save us, but if he doesn't, it's okay. Because this is going to go, this earthly body, my wife can sit here and pray for this body for 9 days. That's on her. I won't be here anymore. You know, I'm going to live by faith and be waiting for the day where he calls us up. I thank you for this opportunity very much.
Give me a hand. Hold on. Ray, would you come up and close us? Would you close us in prayer?
Well, Heavenly Father, we just thank you for this word that came forth, Father God. We thank you for Eli and his willing to come forward and share in front of his brothers and sisters, Lord God. We ask, Father God, that the words that he spoke today would just dwell into our souls, Father God, and that we would be able to take this out and share it with other people, Father. We thank you for what you're going to do for us today, Father God, the blessings that you have for us. And we thank you for everything that you've done up until this point and for everything that you haven't yet. Father, we pray a special blessing on this whole day and the service and everything that goes with it, Lord God. We just ask that your Holy Spirit would touch every single one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.